League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Josh Pate College Football Show, joining us once again as he does every week here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh, welcome in, man. You were in the... What a great, great game. What a great game. And Josh, I made a point on Monday that... You know, I know there's a lot of people that are poo-pooing the playoff or whatever because the games mean less. But that USC-Penn State game, that LSU-Ole Miss game, that Oregon-Ohio State game, those guys left everything. I didn't see anybody that thought that those games meant less. What great college football games they were.
Oh, they were unbelievable now. Now, I'll tell you, I'm one of the people who thought and still thinks that. So I'm the perfect person to ask about this. I always thought, I mean, you could expand the playoff to 30 or whatever you do. Those early to mid-season games are going to feel the same because the playoff picture hasn't taken shape yet. And you also haven't gotten several years in where you've retrained your mind on how to think about those games. So it's a little bit off-centered still relative to maybe what the future will be. But so all that having been said, I was at, like you said, I was at the Oregon game. USC-Penn State's happening before that. And, you know, on one hand, you want to get down to the field and you want to watch warm-ups and you want to, you know, see all that. But on the other hand, you can't take your eyes off the TV screen in the media room because USC and Penn State's going to overtime. I mean, that was awesome. We had overtime in Baton Rouge. We had overtime in Knoxville. We had what we had happen up in Eugene. I don't know what the best day in the history of college football is, but that one is up there. I mean, that one represented itself really well.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good week. It was a good week of college football. I think it's... It doesn't change the fact that you have great games that are high intensity and all that. I just think it's, you know, it doesn't have the same necessarily when you have 12 teams, it doesn't have the same impact early in the year about making playoffs and stuff like that. That's my only argument. Doesn't mean that the games aren't going to be good or fun or exciting or close.
That's what we're here for.
And we had three of them that were outstanding last week with the LSU game, with the Ohio State game, mm-hmm. and also the Penn State game with USC. So we had some really, really good football. A game that wasn't good. I want to work through all those, but I want to stay local first. Texas beat Oklahoma. The big takeaways there, the first takeaway you cannot ignore after having, it's been a long rivalry, two storied programs from the Big 12 now. They both go into the SEC. Texas steps in and is now trying to assert themselves in the first year as the big dog in the SEC, or certainly one of them. And Oklahoma right now is an absolute mess. How did Kirk Bowles ask me for an article about how Oklahoma got there? And I said it's just the ebbs and flows of roster building, losing their head coach, transfer portal. Is it more than that, though, Josh? Because Oklahoma right now is, they're in not a great place roster-wise, I don't think.
They're not in a great place roster-wise. Their roster isn't this bad. I mean, I think the story for me is losing Jeff Lebby and Seth Luttrell comes in, and it's been terrible. I know that you could go position by position, and you could say, well, they do or don't have this, do or don't have that. Well, here's how I always cut through that. Go find me the top 20 offenses in the country right now, whoever they are. There are going to be several talent rosters that are less capable, just physical, raw talent potential and talent profile than what Oklahoma has right now. So there are teams out there doing way more than you with less. So I don't really want to hear how undermanned you think you are, because you have very first world problems relative to some teams out there that are still getting it done. So I don't know. I mean, you know better than I do. I mean, I'm not sitting here grease boarding you to death with the shift from Levy to Seth Luttrell. And I do completely understand that expectations should have maybe been tempered there. But to this degree, I don't think so. And remember, man, that's them coming out of a bye week. Like, that should be the best version of them and just non-competitive.
Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So you really loved that atmosphere up there at Oregon. What was it like?
That and Georgia-Bama a couple of weeks ago are two of probably the best three or four I've ever been in, and we're at the best one every week. That was unbelievable. It was perfect weather. It was two great teams. Ohio State folks traveled very well. I don't know if it came through on TV, but they were well represented in there. And it's already a place that, on its best day, has 60,000 folks capacity. So I'd say shave 12 or 13,000 off that. You got Oregon fans numbering in the upper 40,000 range that made the place deafening. And then I come back home, and I'm telling everyone, that's the loudest environment I've been in the Big Ten. I've been to a whiteout at Penn State. I've been to all these places. None of them were louder than that. And everyone's like, well, no, that's impossible. And I keep asking these folks, which game have you been to at Oregon? And they always come back by saying, well, I hadn't been there, but there's just no way that's the case. Mm-hmm. Well, if you hadn't been there, then how about make the trip and then come back and tell me? Because I grew up, you guys know I grew up in rural Georgia. I didn't even know where Oregon was on a map. So certainly I used to hear him talk about Austin, and I used to think, just like everyone else does, 55,000, 60,000 people, there's no way. Well, I don't know what the acoustics are. I don't understand the science of it, but I am telling you there's a way. Because I experienced it the other night, and Ohio State false start after false start also experienced it the other night.
Well, it's Autzen is different. There is something to do with it. Notre Dame, all the sound escapes. Michigan, all the sound escapes. Even the horseshoe, the sound escapes as opposed to in Penn State as well. The way that the stadiums are built, I think it's the same way at USC.
Some of it.
Yeah.
But it's also how fervent are the fans. Like, it's loud as piss at A&M. Those fans are really, really into
it. But that stadium doesn't go out. It goes up.
No. And I've been to two Oregon games, and, man, their fans are
wild. Well, and you were at A&M. Oh, you said in the loudest in the Big Ten. Where does A&M rank as far as loud, Josh?
A&M's way up there. Like a lot of these, well, I say a lot, a few of these SEC venues top anything that I've experienced in the Big Ten. Neyland, Tiger Stadium at the right time, A&M, yes. I mean, Bama a couple of weeks ago. And that's a place that had become a little complacent and fat and happy under Saban. That place was cranked a few weeks ago when Georgia came in there. So I'm not calling Autzen loudest in the country, but, I mean, I've been to Ohio State for several big games, and they got 100,000 packed in there. And that place is not as loud as Oregon with 40,000 less folks. So they represented themselves. And, you know, as far as the football goes and as far as the crowd goes, all that stuff, it really goes to show that what we talked about on this show in the preseason has become valid, and that is everybody wanted to discuss the adjustment Oregon would have to make to the Big Ten. The Big Ten had to adjust to Oregon every bit as much as Oregon had to adjust to it, and they're finding that out now.
Josh Pate, our college football expert, joins us right now. And so you got Texas versus Georgia. You got Alabama versus Tennessee. Those are the two headliners this week. Tennessee has really, boy, they have really tumbled here over the last couple weeks. It has not been good for their young quarterback, who's very talented but has really fallen into a little bit of a malaise. And speaking of a malaise, man, Alabama all of a sudden finds themselves. I mean, they beat South Carolina by two. They get whipped by Vanderbilt the week before. Let's start with that game right there. Two teams right now not playing their best football.
Yeah. Well, what you have is you have a couple of good teams. I think that's how I would classify them. And I use that word intentionally because if you're a good team, all the possibilities are on the table. Now, if you're a great team, if you're an elite team, I will not see you play bad. I could see you play good, but that's a dip for you. So great teams don't really turn in bad performances. They just they drop down to very good. Good teams, though, they could play great or they could play bad. And so Bama and Tennessee have done both. And quality of opponent has a lot to do with that, too. But, I mean, Bama played their best half of football against the best team they've played so far this year. But then they also played some of their worst halves against the lesser teams they played this year. USF took them down to the wire. So I still think both of those teams have the sort of springboard potential that we see every year where someone gets their act together around Halloween, and then all of a sudden they become the team that, quote-unquote, no one wants to play by the end of the year. Now, it used to be that that team was already out of the playoff, and now they may still be in it. But, look, the thing with Tennessee's offense is they have been shut out the first half 2 weeks in a row. I think somewhere along the way, like, it is, they're not, like, far, far, far off. If you've watched their games, they're not far off. I thought Kubelik did a really good job this week of explaining the difference in execution versus scheme and what they're really missing there. And I say that to say it wouldn't surprise me if both of them sort of found something about themselves this week. And that's a game where the total's in the mid-50s. And when the total came out, everyone yelled, take the under, take the under. I'm not so sure I believe that. I think they'll both find something against each other. The difference is if it comes down to explosives, which I think it will, I trust Jalen Milroe in Alabama to generate them more consistently than I trust Nico in Tennessee to generate them right now. So Bama's a really short favorite in there. I think Bama should win that game, but I say it with a lot of trepidation in my voice.
Is Georgia fading? Is Texas on the rise? And this is Kirby. They just don't look like the Georgia that we've seen in the last couple of years.
Well, one of them does. It's just Texas. Texas looks like Georgia has looked. Kirby said it as much this week. He said, when asked about how to describe Texas's defense, he described the critical factors and traits that they have, and then he said, they remind me of better versions of us, which is accurate, and that's a big testament to Texas's defense, but also what he's saying is, we are not the better versions of ourselves, and they're not, man. I've been able to count on Georgia doing two things consistently. I've been able to count on them having a strong ground game, and they're in the 90s, I think, or something like that right now. And then I've also been able to count on them not allowing a bunch of chunk plays in the passing game, and they're in the low 60s in that category. Texas, I mean, I would think Steve Sarkisian in Texas looks at this, and they understand the logo means something, but the tape does not suggest what the logo means with Georgia defensively right now. And conversely, the one thing that I keep waiting on is I keep waiting on Texas to face a high-level quarterback. So they will face that this week. But I do not look at Texas and say things like, well, just wait until they face one, because I think they're legit. I just know in the back of my mind I need one of those boxes checked. I need to have seen them against a really, really top-level quarterback. But Carson Beck is not surrounded by high-level weaponry right now. So this is not like a Stetson Bennett Georgia game where you look at it and you say, if Stetson just does his job, the rest of the pieces around him will take us home. Carson Beck's got to take him home this weekend.
Yeah,
and
yep.
I think Texas is a little too good. I lean Texas in the game.
Yep. We got Josh Pate brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston every week
nice.
Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I was thinking of something this week with Texas, and I just Googled this so I could refresh my memory. And here's a video of you from 2021 addressing this very thing. And what I want to bring up is Bo Davis. Bo Davis is the defensive line coach for University of Texas. And in 2021, a video was leaked, and we played it here on our show, John, and we discussed it, where he is ripping the team for laughing after the game on the bus, being nonchalant, not caring. And you got players on the bus videotaping it and releasing it. And, Josh, I don't know what your response was. I have a pretty good idea, but I want to readdress that now. Here we are in 2024, right? That was the 2021 season we've had. This is the fourth year Sark has been there. And this is a great example of how sometimes you got to get guys out of there. You got to get the losers out of there. Guys who don't care enough about winning, guys who don't care about being championships, entitled players, spoiled players, guys who don't want to do what's necessary to win. You got to get them up on out of there. And Bo Davis, that was a great encapsulation 4 years ago of where Texas was and now where they are now. I think this is a great look at how Sark and Texas have cleaned it up and done what Tom Herman wasn't able to do, what Charlie Strong wasn't able to do, what all these guys haven't been able to do for a long time is take a sleeping giant and finally awaken it by getting the right type of players in there and having the right message in there.
It is something I thought about last week in the kind of phrasing and leading up to the Georgia game because I knew what I was going to say. I said the same thing going into the Michigan game. There were people who were blind enough to say that a street fight type of game would favor Michigan. Well, they were wrong because Texas is a bigger, faster, stronger version of Michigan. Texas is not built to run around you anymore. They're built to go through you. They can also go around you if they want to, but they're built to go through you. They are built from the inside out. That, as much as you want to talk about portal maybe, that offensive line was entirely built through high school recruiting. Mm-hmm. It's entirely organic. They've developed them in-house, and now they've got the kind of reputation that the best Bama teams or the best Georgia teams have had, and that is they are very multiple in their ways to attack you. They probably outsize you. They're probably faster than you. They're deeper than you. Guys, they lost two tailbacks in the preseason and are still top 40 rushing right now. They lost those two interior run stoppers, and they're still the number one statistical defense in the country right now. Now, some of that will be a little bit of a mirage. Like, they can bleed. They are mortal. But that rant a few years ago, that came from a guy who's been there. Bo Davis has been there. He's coached the best. He's been under the best. He's seen the best. He knew what it was supposed to look like. He knew what they had on that bus wasn't it. And it was just a matter of giving them time to get the right ones in there. We had to find out whether they could, and the answer is they could, and they have. And now Texas is Texas.
Josh Pate, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston here. All right, quickly, what Dan Lanning did at the end of the game with 12 men on the field, he did it on purpose. He worked the system. Do they have to put the time back on the clock on a defensive penalty in the last minute or so?
Well, sure. It never should have been available. But I will tell you this. I was at Oregon Friday, sat in team meetings on Friday. They went over the exact scenario. I mean, they grilled that team on every possible scenario that could happen in that game. That was one of them. And it's just the coaching staff letting those players know, hey, if this happens, here's what to expect. And don't think we're crazy. If we want 12 on the field, here's what to expect. So they were ready for it. It wasn't something that was decided or drawn up in the dirt on the sideline. It's just college football occasionally finding out that it doesn't have its rule book in order and it gets exposed and now we make a change and it's something that's a footnote at the end of the year.
Yeah. And what about Lane Kiffin and the guys just flopping? It's ridiculous.
It is. It's bad. And I can't believe we've let it get to this. Like, it stuns me that there is not enough centralized leadership in college football. It doesn't have to be centralized. Just someone with common sense step up and say, this is not happening anymore. If you go down due to injury, you're coming off the field the rest of the series. And if it keeps happening, then we'll take further action. Like, everyone knows what's going on. So do something about it. It's really that simple.
Yeah, it's you know what? But I don't know. Can they make rule changes in the middle of the year?
Well, they're going to do it with this clock. So why not do it with injuries? Yeah. I mean, if it's worth doing in December, it's worth doing now.
I think you got to let the referees decide. If he's flopping, you know, I know you're not supposed to be able to judge it, but if a guy's just standing there and all of a sudden he falls to the ground, you know what? You're sorry. That's a 15-yard penalty. It's unsportsmanlike conduct. And that'll put an end to it.
I just think you don't even need to let the referee decide. Just have a blanket rule. You're coming out the rest of the series. Because at that point, if the guy really is hurt, he wasn't going to come back in this series anyway. And if he's not hurt, you will pay a price for flopping.
I always thought it would be a good...
I don't think that's harsh enough. I don't. Especially if you put a backup, a third team guy in there for one play to flop. You know what? Oh, well, come on.
Well,
you got to get off
the field. That's not how they do it, though. They make a decision based on the flow of the offense taking off on you. So I don't know that that's how, because usually if a team hits you with a big first down, they get a little momentum going. Because if they're playing fast, you can't sub in anyway. Unless the offense subs, defense can't sub anyway. So you get the defense gets tired, and they give the motion, whatever it is, to go down. What about having it reviewable? We're slowing the game up so much for this. It's just, I don't know how they do this.
Slowing the game up, they're stopping the game.
How about somebody just fights Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
Just punches
him in
Lane
the face.
Kiffin.
Every time he does that, he gets punched in the face.
Is there anyone that you would, and by the way, this is a thing well before Lane Kiffin. I remember La Tech doing it to Texas A&M years ago.
Dom
remember that?
Capers used to do it with the Texans back in 2000.
Oh, that's right.
2002, 2003. All right, we got to break it there. That is Josh Pate, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and Bobcat of Houston every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're going to Tennessee, Alabama this week, right? He's not there. He must have left.
He's not there.
He's not ready.
Were you there, Josh?
Thank you, Josh. Thanks, guys.
Great Josh in there.
Great being with you guys.
I
want
to know why he would go to Tennessee, Alabama.
Hall of Fame, guys. All right. Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Yeah, he hadn't even said anything to us about the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't know it being in Tennessee.
It is the Texas Radio Hall of Fame.
It kind
of
is.
But that hasn't gotten word and gotten out outside of the state.
It is surprising, considering how much you talk about it, that it hasn't filtered to him.
Yeah, like.
I know, right?
I need a text
him. All right. Talk about DreamRate. I'm going to go hang with Kent today, as a matter of fact. We're going to go and have some lunch, talk about what's going on. I urge you. This is a great time. The government has great, great opportunities for you, great rebates if you're a first-time home buyer. If you're thinking about getting out of that rent and buying your first home, Kent is the guy you should see. I didn't do it. I'm a dummy, okay? I really am. I wish I'd known Kent then. I wish I'd known that you need a broker. Brokers are just better. They just save you money. Now, there are different brokers and there are bigger ones. There's these big brokerage houses that put their names on bowl games and golf tournaments. They're not going to give you the time of day. They're not going to give you the time that you need. They're not going to work their ass off to save you thousands of dollars. Kent Jones is going to do that. He's got a limited number of people that he's going to take care of. And listen, he will give you a scenario quote over the phone. You call him and ask him. You want to talk about buying a home for the first time, and he'll give you all of the government rebates that you're going to get, all the incentives that they're giving out for first-time home buyers. They want people to buy homes. And you say, well, the interest rate, it's too penal right now. You refi. You refinance. It's easy. Now is a great time to buy. So if you're out there right now thinking about whether or not you should buy a home, call Kent. And let him tell you about all the things that he can do for you. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com.
DreamRate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 2482473. Jake and Jones, NMLS number 356118, Equal Housing Lender.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so we're going to be joined by Neil Brown on a mobile in just a little bit here. So this will be our final segment because we'll have Neil Brown on a mobile, and then we'll have News of the Weird. So we'll finish up. Is there anything that I think we hit on everything. I mean, we're a fantastic show.
You think so?
Yeah.
I can give you this. Mauricio Pochettino's second game, not as good as the first. They took a beating down in Mexico yesterday. Several of their players. Your mic's not on, so we can't hear you and your nonsense about soccer.
I thought everyone was bragging about the new coach, and we were unstoppable.
No one said that. That's just you making stuff up in your head. Congratulations.
Well, somebody said
no
it.
One said it. They sent some of their best players back to their clubs, and they took a beating down in Mexico, 2-0. They did not look good, period. Once Mexico scored their goal, it kind of sucked the air out of that team, and then Mexico scored right out of the half to kind of end the proceeding. So 1-1 in Mauricio Pochettino's first couple games. It is what it is.
Paisan. Oh, hey, listen.
He's not Italian.
A little setback for the Paisan.
He's not Italian.
He kind of is. I mean, he kind of is. Well, you don't know.
No, I can look it up.
No. You don't know where his family's from.
I can
from.
Look it up, and he says
he's an Argentinian. He's Italian Argentinian.
I don't see him claiming
you're
the Italian
American.
Side.
I'm Italian American.
You know, the young African Americans don't like being called that anymore.
Whoa, you're not one of them.
I don't like you referencing.
Alan doesn't mind.
I know, but he does.
You just said they don't like it. Alan's
I was told
it.
We but had Del this conversation like last black. Week. I don't like John calling me anything other than Del, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What about Mopey? I call you that.
No, you use that as a show name. You don't call me Mopey to my face.
Mopey and Mapes.
You have never.
Are you Mopey or not?
You have never.
You're not Mapes.
I'm not Mopey either. I'm
well,
Brill.
Apparently you are.
No, just because you made up a name, Doofus and Dumbass. Which one are you?
I'm Dumbass.
Okay, apparently you're Dumbass because that's the label. Nah, you're more Doofus. You're more Doofus, I think.
No, I'm Dumas.
Mm.
I am. I don't care. You think I care? People call me. Be called that all my life.
Well, started from the womb.
Yeah. My mother used to drop the R word on me all the time.
My dad used to pull me up by my ears when I was a kid as a form of, hey, get it together.
Yeah.
He never called me the R word, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I got called all the time. Here are the favorites for MVP. Lamar 1, Patrick Mahomes 2nd, Jaden Daniels 3rd, C.J. Stroud 4, Josh Allen 5. Just missing out, Sam Darnold, Derrick Henry. You know what? Derrick Henry should be up that list. It's ridiculous that it's just a quarterback award. Why not just call it the quarterback of the year?
That's what it is. The running backs can't win that award.
Running backs
That's what offensive player of the year is here.
Used to be.
Well, no, we're in a new era. Running backs don't count. They're barely human beings anymore.
Running backs make like $5.30 a game.
No.
Yeah.
Give me Derrick Henry.
I don't know. The people who run the checkout stand at Buc-ee's make more than running backs. I can't hear you
because Lance says he doesn't hear you.
Okay. I hear him. It's a poverty position. Why are we talking about this poverty ass
running backs? Look at that sign at Buc-ee's and see how much they pay the employees. And go, that might be where I should switch off. I should work at Buc-ee's. They pay these guys pretty good.
MVP.
And what about, does Jordan Love get into the conversation?
We'll see what he does on Sunday.
I'm going to tell you this. It's a big game as far as that goes. He really is.
Well, he missed the game and had his butt kicked by...
Missed two games.
Missed two games and had his butt kicked, at least in the first half, by Minnesota, but they lost that game.
He came back and he had nice numbers.
He's going to have a strong year.
They continue to win, and he's going to get in the picture.
He'll have to continue to win. If that's going to be the case...
anybody who continues to win is going to be in the picture.
You mean like Caleb Williams?
You know what? Well, he's gotten back into the...
It's a joke. Caleb Williams not going to be...
He's getting back in the rookie of the year.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely. That's all he has to do is win.
Still a big favorite, minus 190.
No, if Jordan Love, if they win at a high level. Listen, this week's game is a big game. This is a big game.
Said it. It's a,
I think worst case scenario.
A lot of eyes are going to be on this game.
Worst case scenario, we got two new quarterbacks that can play out of this draft class. I'll take it. After 2021, 2022, and maybe even 2023, my God. We had three straight years. For 2021, the best we saw is Trevor Lawrence. Oh, and Brock Purdy was 2022. Was 2022. The best quarterback to come out of 2022 is Brock Purdy. The best out of 2021 is Trevor Lawrence. The best out of 2023 is going to be C.J. Stroud and probably nobody else, honestly. I'm not sure. Maybe Anthony Richardson, maybe. And then 2024, this is real. Even if it's just two quarterbacks, even if Drake May doesn't become a quarterback, but there's still a good chance with Penix and May. Like, you still got something. J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
You got a chance to have a good quarterback class. But at least we know two for sure. And the league is better when you have good quarterbacks. So it's nice to see two good, talented young quarterbacks follow C.J. Stroud. So in the last 2 years, we have Stroud, Caleb, and Jaden Daniels. That's good for pro football.
Yeah. No. Not bad at all. What these two are doing. That's a lot of fun. 2021, Trevor Lawrence. Are you sure he's the best that's come out of there?
Who else? Other quarterback was the best out of there?
Maybe Justin Fields.
Justin Fields about to lose his job to Russell Wilson.
I know, but who's been better this year, Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is not better than Trevor Lawrence. He got traded for a 6th-round pick. Nobody cares
about him. If you had a team and you had a choice, Lawrence. I would not choose Trevor Lawrence.
I'm not taking Justin Fields. I've already seen he can't do it. I already know for a fact he can't.
I've already seen Trevor Lawrence can't do it.
And Trevor's been a little bit of a bad – I don't trust Trevor Lawrence either, but I don't think anyone would – I mean, he's about to lose his job for a second time.
Well, I don't. I think because I think that's stupid.
Justin Fields can't
pass.
He's
4-2.
It's not. It's because of the defense and the run
game. I don't care. You're 4-2. Russell Wilson's been crap.
Is he replaceable? Is Justin Williams? Could you be 4-2 without Justin Fields?
Yeah,
that's my whole point. It's not because of Justin Fields. It's because of everything else. Like, how much are you winning with or because of him? Winning with him.
Well, what have you won with Russell Wilson?
Look, I'm not changing. I wouldn't necessarily go Russell Wilson. What I'm telling you is that Trevor Lawrence is better than Justin Fields out of that draft class.
Until Justin Fields loses at a worse pace than this.
But what's your argument? You're showing how bad 2021 is.
Yeah.
The best that came out of there to me is Trevor Lawrence, and that's not good.
And he's got one win this year.
John, that's not good.
You want to feel worse? pictures have emerged, and now you won't have to feel so assaulted of Sydney Sweeney taking on the role of boxer Christy Martin. The photos are out. You won't feel so assaulted anymore.
Oh, no? She's
Sydney Sweeney is Christy Martin?
Who's Christy Martin? I don't know.
Oh, this former is
female
kill her
boxer.
Career. You don't remember her, the dark-haired boxer? Didn't she have... What's the deal with some boyfriend who was going to try to...
I don't know if that's
killer
her.
Or something like that.
I don't know.
But
maybe. I don't know.
Sydney Sweeney is Christy
well,
Martin?
Yeah. Look at her. Artist quote tweeted the first photos, and you may not feel so assaulted anymore.
I'm not going to be assaulted if she's trying to play.
Yeah, untold deal with the devil.
Oh, my God.
Told you.
Yeah, no, don't do that, Sydney.
Well, she's branching out from Femme
Fatale.
Oh, this
is heartbreaking.
Yeah, I thought she was much better in that other movie.
I'm sure you did. But
oh, no.
Don't do it, Sydney.
No.
It's too late. What do you mean don't do it? She's already done it.
No, that's too late.
I hate when I see Sydney Sweeney and unrecognizable.
Yeah. Let's take a quick one, and when we come back,
oh,
Neil,
she's got a mullet.
Neil
well,
Brown,
that's a wig,
Mobile,
probably.
Joins us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid. You're looking for the best way to double your money. And when you deposit it, you get twice as much to play with. That's ridiculous. That is so much fun. It is so awesome of mybookie to do that for you. You're looking for the best, the fun, a great site, doubling your money, free Thursday bets. That's tomorrow night, so get in today so that you get your free Thursday bet on. You want to and the more you play, the higher tier you join, and more giveaways and great ways for you to make money on my bookie. So listen, I don't know if you've been to a regular to a local bookie or whatever. He's not doing all of this for you like MyBookie is. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Play, win, and get paid. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, so the West Virginia not really having a good time of it. West Virginia, Neil Brown is 34-32 in his career in his 5 years there. 3-3 after falling to Iowa State. After that game, he was asked by the host of his coach's show, you know, what about the fans and what about the fans who are not happy about what's going on? And here's Neil Brown had this to say. He said, I get that they want to win, but what I would say is, did they have a good time? Did they enjoy it? It was a pretty good atmosphere. You know, I'm assuming they probably had a good time tailgating. So if they're in the deal for enjoyment, then I would come back. I looked at the weather. It's going to be nice again. It's a night game. We need them to provide a home field advantage. I get it. They're frustrated we didn't win. We played a tough schedule. Everyone who's beat us hasn't lost. That's not an excuse. It's just the truth. Well, Neil Brown on a mobile is joining us here on the show to talk more about that and about the big game coming up. Neil Brown on a mobile, how you doing this morning?
Man, I checked the weather. And you guys have some great weather. It's going to be a great day for you out there. It looks like weather's going to be nice, and it's nice here. And what a great day to be alive. Win or lose, today is really a great day, it looks like, for everybody.
Yeah, no, well, but the weather's nice. Do you check the weather all over, or is it just in West Virginia or whomever you're going to be talking to? Is that you're a big weather
really,
checker?
Yeah, wherever I'm talking to, I'm just, you know, the weather is the weather, but
– yeah.
I mean, you could get fired today, but let's be honest. What a great day to be outside.
It really is. Are you a dew point guy or are you a humidity guy?
I'm just a get outside and live life guy. I mean, you know, I've always said a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work any day. So
yeah.
I guess your perspective, how you look at things, and that's, you know, I think that's what's made me a successful coach and a guy who's able to keep his head on straight is that, now, what are we doing? This is a game, you know. Life is, we're all going to die at some point, so just don't take things too seriously.
Yeah, but it seems like you get paid a lot of money, and the fans, you know, they want to see some success out there. You're 3-3 now. You're only two games over 500 in your, you know, career there as head coach at West Virginia. I just think they want to see a better product, probably, or no?
Yeah, no. I mean, everyone wants to win, but let's. I think it's the way you look at it. I mean, you know, we could have won a couple of those games, and had we won those games, we'd be sitting here at 5-1, and everyone would be happy. So, you know, it's just it's how you look at it. 3-3, 5-1 is kind of the same thing. I mean, I'm still here, and I could be 5-1, but I'm 3-3. So, you know, and if we'd lost two more, we'd be 1-5. So,
right.
I think that. It's your perspective, and I think you can't take things too seriously like football. And my salary shouldn't really have any impact on you enjoying this beautiful day out there. Get outside, go fish, and enjoy yourself.
Well, go to the game and tailgate. I mean, and West Virginia.
Oh, man, the tailgate is so good. And I'm glad you brought that up. Man.
Yeah, I thought you did.
What a great time. Like, what a great time was had by all, you know. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis. Do you understand now that these pellet grills have changed the game, where it's so easy to make such unbelievable food? And I think tailgating is more fun than the games. Like, to me, the game is just an excuse to go out and have a great time. And so I'm glad that we're able to offer, you know, kind of just a jump-off point for West Virginia fans to get out there and drink and eat and see your friends and play cornhole and just do the things that make Saturday special. And, yeah, come inside, and if we win, that's great. If we lose, that's great. No one gets too mad. Mm-hmm. You know, let's all agree. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the first girl that you ever made love to?
I do.
Okay. That first time, it take me all the way back. I don't want specifics and positions on. But let me ask you this. Would you say that everything went great that first time for you? Did everything just go smoothly?
It went pretty good, pretty well, but, you know.
Because things have been better?
Yeah, obviously. They get better as you go along.
But but did you enjoy yourself?
It didn't take me 5 years for it to get better, but, yeah, no. Yeah.
But you, did you enjoy your – did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
That's exactly what I mean.
Right.
Every game should be like making love for the first time. It's not going to go great. You may not get first downs. You might blow 10-point leads and 14-point leads. You may lose more than you win in a season. But, man, did you have fun. I mean, that was fun. I'll never forget her name. Her name was Marshall, for example, and we beat Marshall. You know, her name was Penn State, and we lost to Penn State. You know, so – I mean, it's just, yeah, it's not always, it doesn't work out great sometimes. Like, but you had fun trying. Like, you don't know, but it's fun at the end.
Yeah.
And that's like cornhole. I mean, it's, you know, you're out there playing and it's just, you don't get caught up in wins and losses. You just have fun doing it, you know? Right. Go out there and cheer and drink and. But don't yell at the kids and don't come into my yard and put for sale signs.
No, have a good time. Get drunk, but don't put for sale signs. What's your favorite tailgate food since you're so...
Oh, great question. And this is the stuff that I'd like to talk about on my coaching show a little bit more. Instead of the game, let's get to what people want to talk about. I like cream corn.
Yeah.
I think that's a great tailgate.
A lot of people like corn on the cob with salt and pepper, though, but okay.
Yeah, I like cream corn. I like, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs, just basic. I'm kind of a missionary position of tailgate guy, really. Just the standard basics, you know, just hot dogs and hamburgers and cream corn, I guess. And, you know, drinking, I'd say drink, but don't drink so heavily that you're going to get violent. Because your team loses, I'm glad people are having a good time. And listen, if you love to have great times, go watch your local football team, but do it with the lens of happiness and great time. Don't try to just wins and losses are for losers.
Right? Do you think this is the same message that maybe they should be sending at Kevin Stefanski at the Browns or? Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Their
fans are getting too upset about losses.
Yeah, you're right. And the same thing with the presidential election coming up. Hey, if Trump loses, this wasn't your day. If Kamala loses, hey, I had a good time on this presidential trail. We got to debate. I got to meet a lot of great people. Trump's can say it was a hell of a, a 4-year, kind of like 8 years. I mean, he's always in the news anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, whoever wins and loses, we had a good time. This whole presidency thing has been a great time. America's been nothing but fun the last 8 to 12 years.
What if it's a really crappy day out, though, rainy and cold, and then the people aren't going to have nearly as good a time, though, right? So maybe win the game or something?
There's things inside you can do to have fun as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about a football game?
Yeah. If you're in a football game and it's crappy outside, don't you need to win then? You don't have to win on nice days, but you shouldn't. You should win on crappy days. How's that work?
I had not thought about that. Well, we're going to have to get some kind of situation where you get an indoor tailgate or something where people can have fun and not get wet, or they're really going to be pissed.
Yeah. Then if it's a crappy day, man. That just makes it really bad. Who cares?
Yeah. Get out there and, you can have fun indoors as well. Oh, you can't drink inside?
Right.
Yeah, you can drink inside. You can make love inside. Let's have fun.
Coach, it seems you focus more on lovemaking than winning football games. Yeah. Do you think if you focus more on football, you would win more games?
Yeah. I just notice that fans are happier when they're making love and not going to our games. I get yelled at less when they're in the middle of lovemaking than when they're watching us get our ass kicked with Penn State.
See,
Kneel! You don't hear that.
I don't think what they do after watching you guys lose would be turned making love.
No.
Well, some people call it grudging.
But did they have a good time?
Well,
yes.
Maybe one
person.
Well,
they grudge it out after some of our games. I don't like the intensity and anger that's involved with that. Yeah. So I prefer you do it before or during the game.
Don't
watch. Just have us on in the background. Just have that background noise so the kids don't hear. Just turn the play-by-play call up and the kids can't hear. Your door's shut and it's locked and you got the game on. And, if we score a touchdown and, give each other a high five, or the old Eiffel Tower or whatever. And then,
how many people are in this scenario? Eiffel
Tower.
That's
what I'm saying. It's West Virginia. You just don't know.
It's true.
All right, Coach.
Well, you don't know how many teeth are involved, but okay. All right.
Oh, come on now.
See, that's awful.
I didn't go from Troy University to West Virginia to hear those jokes.
Yeah, I know. You didn't. All right, Coach, we appreciate it, man. Hey, this is the message. Have a good time.
And make love, and not make war. They said it right in the 60s.
There's a lot of focus on the wrong thing.
We'll make love. And just don't come
out. I didn't hear that note in his coach's show.
Yeah.
He seems to have added that to the
coach
repertoire.
Coach Neil Brown focused on the wrong things, I think.
Y'all are, football. Just make some love. Mm. That's all. All right. I want to talk right now about Coors Light. How you have a good time at the tailgate? That's exactly what Neil Brown was talking about. Grab your cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer when you're tailgating, when you're not tailgating, when you're making love, not making love, whatever. Okay? Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. It is the world's most refreshing beer. You will love it. It's the tailgate. That's what it's about. Drink your Coors Light at the tailgate. Be like Neil. And just don't worry about football games. Worry about cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right, so a woman who sued her company for not giving her a farewell card has found out they did buy a card for her. But almost no one signed it. The judge ruled the woman exhibited a conspiracy theory mentality.
Oh, man.
I mean, you got to be a bad person if no one wants to even sign your card. Okay? Apparently a fire station in Germany burnt to the ground. apparently it had no fire detection devices inside. Burned to the ground, the firehouse. If the firehouse is burning to the ground, can we trust you? It was happening in Germany, though.
No.
What do you want? No, you can't bait me.
Okay.
I play that when I want to play it. You can't bait me.
I just want to hear it.
No, he's not my puppet master. I didn't play it.
The Canadian Senate doing good work. Apparently, it supports a bill to end forced sterilization of Indigenous women.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? Doing a little something for the people. For the Indigenous people.
So it took them till 2024 to take that off the books?
To stop sterilizing Indigenous women.
I like how we've had a week right now where the last two news of the weirds, we've had some real tiny steps forward.
But we are making
for women's rights internationally, I've noticed.
Especially in the Middle East.
Yeah. Hey, you can now not get murdered for whatever it is. And what was that? Yesterday,
if you're a woman founding a company for women, you're not going to get a loan. You're not going to get any money from the
government. Well, we found that was the bad one. That's a step back.
New study shows that trees can't live forever without sex.
Wait, say this again?
A study published in the journal PLO5 Biology says that a tree cannot live forever without sex. It must reproduce. A tree cannot clone itself indefinitely. It must eventually sexually reproduce or it will die. Did you know that? Have you ever seen tree sex?
I haven't, and I haven't searched it.
You haven't?
Maybe not on this computer.
Look it up.
I need to get
Is there a porn site for this?
I don't know, but I'm going to type in tree sex
now. Yeah, do it on your computer.
It's not my computer. It's the company's computer.
Did you see the World Conquer Championship?
The World Conquer?
Conquer Championship. Uh-uh. Apparently, they had
something. Ich bin der Wundklon und Unstein.
What is this? A little late, but better late than
that. We're conquering the world.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh, no, this is the Conquer Championship. Apparently, you smash these acorn-type things against each other, and the one that lasts, that stays without breaking, apparently, wins. Except the champion was found with a steel chestnut in his pocket.
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
He had a steel conquer in his pocket.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you seen the date? Speaking of News of the Weird, did you see the daydreaming contest in Japan?
Yes.
Where everyone had to sit there.
If you laugh or smile. Or smile.
Or talk. And your anything. Heart rate. And they monitor your heart rate. It couldn't get above a certain number.
And you just have to lay there and stare.
And daydream.
Yes, and daydream. Yes.
That the Japanese do the most awesome stuff. The game shows are the best. I love sushi.
Go on.
There's other stuff.
Like what?
The women are pretty.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Mariko? Beautiful. Yeah,
Mariko?
Japanese women are beautiful.
Fast and Furious, I think, happened in Japan. And
well, one of
the
them,
the Harajuku
yes.
girls, when Gwen Stefani had them out there.
You're not helping your cause.
Mm. No, I'm just saying. And then also, like daydream contest.
Oh, yeah. No.
Who's doing that? That's
great.
Oh, they
have all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Like
Shohei Ohtani.
When you try to sing or something and someone's doing stuff to you.
Yeah, she's like, oh, the Japanese don't care. They're the best.
Yeah,
no, I want to live in Japan and just watch TV.
Thank you.
That word that got Raheel suspended?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not. No.
Well, it I'm a man's man.
It's Japanese.
John's a man's man, and he doesn't use that word.
And I wouldn't. I was offended by it.
You didn't even know what it was. He had to explain it to you.
No, somebody said that in the meeting. I'm a man's man.
I know, I remember that, but at the time he said it, how many people knew what that word meant?
No one. Oh, I knew what the word meant.
Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't nice what he was saying.
No, it wasn't.
Let's face it. It wasn't nice.
I mean, if we review it as time has gone by, maybe he should have caught a suspension.
Yeah. Right. All right, we're done.
He was in the wrong for saying that word on the air. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. The Del and Sean show is next.
Oh, look at that.
What?
You acknowledge I have an actual name. Look at that.
The Dale and Sean.
No, that's not Dale.
Don't switch it up now. It sounds like Dale.
Well, you might as well be an account executive who emails me and puts that name Dale? Yes. That happens still.
Oh, and you know what? Maybe John Daspit, you can sue. Maybe with John Daspit, you can sue him.
Well, you sue for personal injury stuff. You basically, it's not even really so much a lawsuit about making sure that you have a lawyer who is going to be there to help you walk through this process. And John Daspit is the personal injury lawyer. His company is the personal injury law firm. The biggest in Houston, the best in Houston. Yeah, I said it. They're the best in Houston. They are going to get the best settlements for you because they understand if you've been injured due to someone else's negligence at the workplace, out in the water, offshore, on the roadway, they want to make sure that all those hospital bills, the medical bills, the physical therapy, the CAT scan, the MRI, the x-rays, they're all paid for, and it's not out of your pocket. You can't go back to work because of a physical injury. They're going to make sure that you get paid for the time that you're missing for work, and they're going to get you pain and suffering as well. So all these things are going to be accounted for thanks to John Daspit and his law firm. They are going to fight for you at the insurance company and get you the best settlement and the fairest settlement. You're not going to be able to get it on your own. Trust me. They're going to say, this is the deal. You take it or you leave it. And it wasn't, you didn't even ask to be put in that situation. 713, call now. That's 713 call now or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.